From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
I live in San Rafael, California.
I'm from San Jose.
Hayward, California.
Nopa.
Kind of lower Russian Hill.
I live across from El Matate in San Francisco.
Coming up, two San Francisco supervisors compete in the state Senate primary.
State legislatures are increasingly becoming the most relevant policymaking bodies here in the country.
One state senator can have a huge impact on the future of our city, of our region, and of our entire state.
Jane Kim and Scott Wiener face off. Then we'll get red hot with jazz singer LaVey Smith and her partner and musical director, Chris Siebert.
Live music, people love live music. You can't kill it.
And Audiograph has us looking up in Golden Gate Park.
So keep watching. It's probably going to go right back on its nest.
Open eyes, open ears, today on Cross Currents. San Francisco voters will recognize two familiar names in the state Senate box on their primary ballots. Current city supervisors Jane Kim and Scott Wiener are both running for state Senate District 11. That represents San Francisco and northern parts of San Mateo County. Ken Liu, a Republican firefighter and business owner, is also in the race. They're competing to replace incumbent Mark Leno, who is terming out of office after this year. Wiener and Kim are both Democrats, but they have very different views on some key local and regional issues. And while Wiener has been endorsed by the California Democratic Party, Kim's been endorsed by Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders. Over the past few months, Wiener and Kim have participated in three debates. KALW's Angela Johnston brings us this report from their discussions.
Jane Kim and Scott Wiener have a lot in common. Both were elected to the San Francisco Board of Supervisors in 2010. Both have been passing a lot of progressive legislation in the past year. They both agree that the position of state senator comes with a lot of responsibility.
One state senator can have a huge impact on the future of our city, of our region, and of our entire state.
State legislatures are increasingly becoming the most relevant policymaking bodies here in the country.
We have one chance to get it right for San Francisco and northern San Mateo County. We don't have a backup plan.
Both say they'd be committed to tackling some similar issues. Affordable housing, homelessness, transportation.
Transportation and housing are absolutely the twins in terms of the regional priorities of the Bay Area.
We need to make sure that all of our community members, and particularly our seniors, are able to actually live dignified lives in their neighborhoods.
I am proud of the fact that on the Board of Supervisors that I have built more housing and more affordable housing than any member of this board.
But when they're asked how they would solve those problems, their differences begin to show. Take affordable housing, for example. In almost every debate, Wiener criticized Kim's support of the Mission Housing Moratorium last November, a proposition that, if it had passed, would have paused market-rate housing development in the Mission for over a year.
And we need to stop trying to shut down housing production in our city, and that is why I opposed the Mission Housing Moratorium. Supervisor Kim co-authored the Mission Housing Moratorium. That was a step in the wrong direction, and the voters wisely rejected it.
And Kim's response?
There was no moratorium. It never said we will never build again. It said we never put studies and plans in place to ensure that we're not building more than single-digit affordable housing, which is what District 9 is building today.
Creating more affordable housing crept into almost every topic in each of the debates. When asked how they would tackle climate change, both candidates said building more affordable housing in the city would be a big help. A city dense with housing would reduce the number of people commuting into the region in cars.
We have residents that are commuting as far as from Central California, from Vallejo, to get to the jobs where they're making and earning good income for their families. This is impacting our carbon footprint far more than many of the other kind of environmental, environmental failures here in the state of California.
Kim and Wiener agree that more housing and reforming the Ellis Act are effective big picture solutions to homelessness in the Bay Area. But when the debate ventured into short-term fixes, Kim and Wiener started to disagree, specifically on the Right to Rest Act. That's a bill currently making its way through the state legislature. If passed, it would get rid of local ordinances that ban activities like camping on the street, sitting and lying on the sidewalk, and living in cars. Wiener doesn't like it.
Our goal should not be to allow people, for example, to live in tents on our sidewalks. It is neither humane, nor safe, nor healthy for people to be living and ultimately dying in tents on our sidewalks.
Kim supports the Right to Rest Act and criticized Wiener for backing the sweep of the homeless camp on Division Street earlier this spring.
It's one thing to say that it's inhumane to pitch a tent on the street, but it's also inhumane to sweep people when you don't have a place to put them.
One of the final issues Kim and Wiener disagreed on was public safety and policing. When asked about how they would stop quality of life crimes like break-ins and bike theft, Wiener talked about getting more officers on the street.
You know, I have nearly enough officers, whether it's to walk beats or do traffic enforcement. And this is a real distinction in this race. While I have fought to try to restaff our department as our city has grown, my opponent has been oppositional and in fact opposed my legislation to tie police staffing to population growth. As we add new neighborhoods, we need to make sure we have enough police officers to keep our community safe.
Kim didn't exactly agree with that.
We know that intervention, school, after-school programs, job creation, drug treatment, and yes, housing actually works to prevent crime. And as your state senator, I'm going to work to strengthen these very programs. I'm not opposed to increasing the number of police officers on our street, but I'm also supporting actually making cops accountable.
Last month, Kim was one of the first supervisors to call for former police chief Greg Suhr's resignation. They also debated tech shuttle buses, LGBT and trans issues, and education, including Kim's proposal to make City College free. Voters can cast their vote for state Senate candidates on June 7th in the primary election. The top two contenders will compete again on the November ballot. For Cross Currents, I'm Angela Johnston.
You can hear live results of next week's vote right here on KALW next Tuesday beginning at 8 p.m. This is Cross Currents. Garrison Pennington turns 18 next January, just 5 days after the upcoming presidential inauguration. That means even though he'll be an adult for nearly all of the new presidential term, he won't actually be able to vote for the next president or anything else. Youth Radio sent us his commentary.
I can't get enough of politics. But as a minor, I'm not allowed to vote. And until recently, I accepted the idea that voting is a special right that can only be trusted with people over 18. But things changed when I got my first paycheck. I looked at where my money goes. Federal income tax, Social Security, Medicare. So I pay into the government, but I don't get a say in how it works. There are times when I'm in the car with my mom, and we'll be talking about the latest election news. Usually, we have the same opinion, but when we disagree, my mom has to spend the entire car ride with me trying to change her mind about issues and candidates. The main argument I've heard against allowing young people to vote is that we won't take the decision seriously. But research supports the idea that younger voters are especially engaged. According to a recent study from the University of Copenhagen, voter turnout for 18 to 19-year-olds is much higher than for 20 to 22-year-olds. It even showed that the younger someone is first allowed to vote, the more likely they are to participate and make voting a habit. The good news is, people are starting to notice. A new bill here in California could amend the state constitution to let 16 and 17-year-olds vote in their local school board and community college elections. This wouldn't be the first of its kind. Cities in Maryland have already lowered their voting ages, and similar bills have been introduced in Washington, D.C. and New Mexico. The current presidential election is the first one that I'm going to remember. I may be 2 months too young to participate, but when the election does come around, I'll still be watching the poll numbers, hoping my candidate wins.
Garrison Pennington's commentary was produced by Youth Radio. You can hear live results of next week's vote for adults right here on KALW next Tuesday beginning at 8 p.m. We'll be right back. This is Cross Currents. I'm Ben Trefney, in for Hannah Baba. LaVey Smith and her Red Hot Skillet Lickers have been one of the Bay Area's favorite bands since they started jamming in 1989, and they're still going strong today. LaVey's big, bluesy voice and glamorous style has made her a mainstay of the music scene, and the Skillet Lickers themselves are some of the Bay Area's most accomplished jazz musicians. LaVey Smith and her partner and musical director Chris Siebert stopped by the station for a chat with KALW's Jen Chien.
Hi, my name is Chris Siebert. I'm the piano player and band leader for LaVey Smith and her Red Hot Skillet Lickers.
My name is LaVey Smith, and I am the singer. I'm the singer from my band.
Now I heard me a summon man. Have you heard it yet? With that soulful message, you won't soon forget it.
So tell me how you two started working together. Either one of you can answer that.
I was playing piano in a blues band called Bo Grumpus, and out of that band came two great musicians, Craig Ventresco, who did the music for the movie Crumb, and Pete Devine, who leads a great band called Hal Devine. And LaVey was also friends with them and came to one of our shows and sang with the band, and the crowd went absolutely crazy. They gave her a gig right away, and then she hired our band to be her backup band in the first gig, so that was the beginning of it.
And you two are also romantic partners, as well as being in music. Yep. And when did that come along?
Right at the same time. I always say, ladies, if you want to keep your man, give him a job. Sorry, Chris. That's what I noticed. It works real good. So we've been together ever since.
How would you describe your music, what you play, when you have to say, what is it that you play?
We like to say that we play classic American music from the middle of the 20th century, sort of from the 20s through the 60s. Various forms of jazz, from early New Orleans jazz to swing to bebop. Blues music and early rhythm and blues music, such as Ray Charles or Etta James. It would include gospel music, and it would even include some country music. We actually do quite a bit of country material, but we do it in the style that Ray Charles did it, which is a jazz and R&B style. And Ray Charles actually kind of changed a lot of Americans' view of country music. Willie Nelson gives him a lot of credit for that, because a lot of people who never would have paid attention to it discovered it through Ray Charles. And there were actually a lot of great jazz and rhythm and blues artists who ended up doing country songs in their own way because the songs are good. They tell a good story.
LaVey, how did you get interested in music and in singing?
Well, I just always loved music. I was always singing and
passion. As a child, you started singing.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, I didn't have like a stage mom. It wasn't like that. It was just me doing it. And, of course, my parents, they loved it.
Well, I also wanted to mention, didn't you guys sing quite a bit in the family? Your dad always had sing-alongs and
oh,
stuff,
oh, yeah, my
right?
family, yeah. My dad, my grandfather was a professional singer and, a classic song and dance man.
You mean he was a performer?
Yeah, he danced like Fred Astaire and he sang like Bing Crosby. And he sang in Chicago World's Fair. And he had six little boys all singing together every night songs. So my dad carried on that tradition with us, and he was always singing songs with our families.
And what was it that you loved about this style of music that you've stuck close to all of these years?
I'm like a little rebel all the time. You know, when I was in high school, you know, I liked punk rock or whatever, and then I started to notice that it really wasn't that alternative after all. So when I
what
started,
do you mean by that?
Well, you know, it's just like, hey, all the other kids are listening to that, big deal. I mean, I want to find the real alternative music, the super rebel music, the radical feminist music. So I found Bessie Smith and the blues queens of the 20s, and that message really spoke to me.
I grew up, my father was an actor, my mother was a dancer, and they were wonderful about exposing us to all of the arts. And my dad had a very diverse collection of music. He would have Bob Dylan albums. We had all the Beatles albums, were huge for our family. Other rock and roll stuff. He had great jazz, everything from swing music to Charlie Parker to avant-garde like Ornette Coleman. Ironically, though, I didn't have lessons or anything as a kid. I really started piano lessons very late, just before I got out of high school, because my dad had bought a piano and I was banging on it and driving him crazy. So he said, I better get this kid some lessons, you know. And I went away to college, not with no intentions of being in music at all. When I got out of school, I was kind of figuring out what I was going to do. I thought I was going to change the world, political activism and things like that. And And then but I was listening to a lot of music, and my passion was music. I was collecting records, old records on vinyl and things like that. And I ran into those guys I mentioned to you, Craig Ventresco and Pete Devine, and we got along well, and they invited me to come to one of their shows. I played with them, and they hired me. It was very random that I got into it as a career. It was more just a hobby or a passion. So I'm lucky in that sense that what I love ended up being what I ended up doing for a living as well.
I'm speaking with Chris Siebert and LaVey Smith of LaVey Smith and her Red Hot Skillet Liquors. Over time, what have you seen in the San Francisco music scene that's changed since you've been a part of it for a couple decades now?
Some of the changes would be demographic changes that are very specific to San Francisco, which affect all culture, as you know, as well as we all know, right? You know. And then some of them are just changes in the music business. I mean, people will have an event or even a nightclub and they have a DJ, so there won't even be a band. So those are changes as well. However, live music, people love live music. You can't kill it. Even though, for instance, one of the other hard things is that for venues that present live music, they've got to now compete with a lot of money and rents have gone up. So because we've known a fair number of venues that have closed because of rents, which is the same situation all small businesses are facing and certainly residents are facing with rents being so crazy here, you know. Tons of great venues left still, of course, too.
Yeah.
But it's a little bit of a trickier thing to navigate these days than when we arrived.
The owners have to have a lot of heart and soul, and they have to be very good business people. Survival of the fittest and the smartest and the most passionate.
And what do you think it is that's allowed you and your band to survive?
Well, maybe it's kind of similar to those clubs that we talk about, like Biscuits and Blues, Club Deluxe, The Saloon, The Royal Cuckoo. They're owned by people. They're not owned necessarily by big corporations or anything. Those are all family-owned businesses. And so, like, our band's like a family-owned business. So there's not so many cooks involved, and it's all heart and it's all passion. You know, it's not none of this, you know. Sometimes when you walk into a restaurant now, you're like, man, this was really designed at a corporate boardroom. This is so awful. And, you know, you can tell when a nightclub is like that, too. I think our band is definitely not like that. It was put together out of complete heart and soul. It wasn't like, hey, let's get together and put a corporate band together to make money at parties. It wasn't like that. So,
and would you say that your audience responds to you in that way? Do you hear feedback from fans, from your audience about you being a homegrown, organically made kind of band?
We're really concerned about hiring musicians who understand what we're trying to do and that move us. And if we know that if they move us, we're not crazy, they're going to move other people as well. But I can say from the minute LaVey got on stage at that gig that I talked about where I was playing that blues band, the crowd saw her and they saw that she was just herself.
I'm going to lock my heart and throw away the key. I'm wise to all those tricks you've played on me.
That was LaVey Smith and Chris Siebert from LaVey Smith and her Red Hot Skillet Liquors. They were speaking with KALW's Jen Sheehan. You can catch the Skillet Liquors live any night this weekend, Friday at Club Deluxe in Haight-Ashbury, Saturday at Ashkenaz in Berkeley, or Sunday at the Royal Cuckoo in the Mission.
Don't you dare disturb, and if I never fall in love again, that's soon enough for me. I'm gonna lock my heart and throw away the key.
You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Ben Trefney in for Hana Baba. And now it's time for Audiograph, the Bay Area's sonic signature. Audiograph's Julie Kane is out this week, so we thought we'd play you this favorite from our archives. For this story, KALW's Melanie Young met up with the retired lawyer and labor rights activist who's become obsessed with some of Golden Gate Park's biggest residents.
Okay, in Golden Gate Park, from morning till dark, I'll watch over my blue herons, a squawk and a squeak.
My name is Nancy DeStefanis. I'm the executive director of San Francisco Nature Education. And we're at Stowe Lake.
Would you like to come see?
I started this program 12 years ago called Heron Watch. And what we do is we set up telescopes, spotting scopes, and we lead tours of the wild birds, including the great blue herons that nest here.
You're kind of looking straight at us now.
I can see it.
With the binoculars? Oh, good. Is that beautiful? Did you see the bright yellow on the bill?
I call myself a community naturalist. because I'm good at getting people out here to see these wonderful birds. To me, I want the underserved children of our city to experience the wonders of walking around for 2 hours with binoculars on dirt and seeing these wonderful birds. So it's still about social justice for me. It's just at a different spot where I'm going into classrooms with my volunteers and then taking them out here with all my naturalists.
So we saw the heron picture of the big fish in his or her mouth. What else do you think the heron might eat? Mice? That's a good one. What else?
Now, the heron is really a charismatic bird. It's got a magnificent 6-foot wingspan. It's got a gold beak, and he's 4 feet tall. I mean, it's hard to miss these birds, and yet people would walk around the lake and have no idea that these birds were right opposite them on this little island.
Okay, here it is. So look with your eyes. Here it comes. You can see it just fine. There you go. So keep watching. It's probably going to go right back on its nest.
Beautiful.
And there it goes. Oh. Just as planned.
There he is. Nice show.
We saw a flying heron.
Do herons make a sound? Like today, I didn't hear the herons making sound. Do herons make a sound?
Herons, great blue herons, make an incredible sound. It's guttural. It's guttural. So if a heron, another heron tries to fly into their nest, they will squawk like crazy at that bird. Very, very squawky and very loud. When the chicks are about to be fed, we hear them making little squawking sounds all over the lake. You can hear them up in the nest.
Because now you know where he is.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, would you like to see again? Because now it's moving a lot.
So I love what I'm doing, and I'll be doing it for the rest of my life. Just birdies and me. Come on, everybody. High up in a tree, you'll soon be a great blue heron. That's heron. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much, everybody. My favorite song.
If you're interested in seeing the birds of Golden Gate Park for yourself, San Francisco Nature Education will be leading a Birding for Everyone tour starting at the San Francisco Botanical Garden this Saturday at 10 a.m. And if you love Audiograph, like those birders love blue herons, you should subscribe to our podcast. Keep up with what's what in the Bay Area by going to kalw.org/subscribe. Our team includes Shireen Adel, Hannah Baba, Leela Day, Audrey Dilling, Nina Gensler-Debs, Angela Johnston, Ian Lewis, Casey Miner, Ted Muldoon, James Rollins, Raja Shah, and Stephen Short. Today's show was engineered by Chris Hoff. Line producer was Hannah Kingsley-Maw. Our managing editor is Jen Chien. Our managing producer is Julie Kane. Our theme music is by the John Santos Quintet. The music you're hearing right now is by the Pacific Mambo Orchestra from San Francisco. They're influenced by Duke Ellington, Tito Puente, and as you can hear right now, by Stevie Wonder. The Pacific Mambo Orchestra, also known simply as PMO, will be performing on Saturday at the new UC Theater in Berkeley. Doors open at 7 p.m. For Cross Currents, I'm Ben Trefney.
Yeah, just for two, though you never knew you were my reason. I've gone much too far for you now to say that I've got to throw my castle away. All the dreams I have picked out are perfect, come true. Come back some other day, and though you don't